Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. You know what? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Can you just put some emoticons on there? Hallelujahs, some hands and some prayer hands, some praise hands, as we just think about the goodness of the Lord and all that He's doing for us in spite of times of trials. As we open up today to get into this virtual service, I want to remember one of our own that passed away unexpectedly, Sister Adrienne Richardson. Sister Adrienne Richardson. Many of you, if you've been a part of Ebenezer for any length of time, have most likely connected with her. She was a part of our dance ministry, our drama ministry, just the Ebenezer family connecting her and Doug Richardson. And I want you to just pray for Doug, lift him up again, very unexpectedly, her going to see the Lord. Her memorial service will actually be this Thursday at Ebenezer. 12 o'clock will be visitation and 1 o'clock will be funeral. Please, please, please pray that God be exalted and lifted up. And for the entire Richardson and Kurt and good family that are connected to Sister Adrienne. Also, I want you to pray for Ebenezer as a body, as we are just leaning really strong on the Lord and knowing that in spite of the trials, in spite of the issues, our God is faithful. In the chat, can you just put faithful? He is faithful. Just some things I want you to be aware of, again, that we are living epistles of God, that God wants to use us in the good times as well as the bad times. And I encourage you to reach out to those. There's so many people that are going through and just need a hug, need an embrace, need a word of encouragement. On our Monday nights, we are striving to do that. We have manna from heaven, people speaking into our lives, Monday manna. And many times we have preachings or we have marriage teachings, teachings with Tony, different things that help us to grow. So please, please stay connected with us on Monday nights at 7 o'clock, our virtual connection. Tuesday on our virtual connection, we have our noonday Bible study where we're going through the book of Genesis. I'm telling you, it's been a wonderful lesson, just getting the history behind what we're learning in the New Testament. And then on Wednesdays on our virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're actually going through the book of Luke. And we have been learning so much from the teachings of Christ. On Thursdays, this Thursday specifically, is going to be the funeral service for Sister Adrienne Richardson, and consequently, we will not be having our Thursday in-person Bible study. So on this coming Thursday, no Bible study. I want you to be a bit aware of that, but that day, that funeral service for Sister Adrienne Richardson, 12 o'clock visitation, 1 o'clock funeral. Please continue to pray for our 8:45 in-person service, our 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 in-person. And also this afternoon, so much is going on, but this afternoon we actually have reaching out to our homeless that are in Central Park. We'll be giving to them, feeding them, giving out clothes. So pray for that ministry. That's been such a blessing. And then at 4 o'clock, we'll be going to one of our sister churches where we'll be celebrating Pastor Edwards. I think it's 16th anniversary. And when I'm thinking about Pastor Edwards, he has been a powerhouse within our community. And he's over at Grace and Truth Christian Fellowship. And they're just equipping saints to grow close to the Lord. That service today at 4 o'clock. The address is 1237 Randolph Avenue. 1237 Randolph Avenue. So if you can get out, come on out as we celebrate his 16th pastoral anniversary as he strives to hear the voice of the Lord, him and his wife, Sister Bobby Edwards. You know, I'm thinking about where we're going today, the message that God has put on my heart, and he's just growing all of us together as we're thinking about our new series that we're going into, fulfilling the calling that God has in your life. So as we lean on the Lord strongly, I want you to prepare yourself to receive a word from the Lord. We'll see you soon.
I'll be reading from Psalms 46, verses 1 through 7. God is our refuge and strength, a help always near in times of great trouble. That's why we won't be afraid when the world falls apart, when mountains crumble into the center of the sea, when its waters roar and rage, when the mountains shake because of its surging waves. There is a river whose streams gladdens God's city, the holiest dwelling of the Most High. God is in that city. It will never crumble. God will help when the morning dawns. Nations roar, kingdoms crumble. God utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of heavenly forces is with us. The God of Jacob is our place of safety.
To know that we can lean on him. Our God is a mighty and powerful God. Well, as we get into this new series, I've just been kind of praying many years. If you go back a couple of years, God just kind of started speaking to me in kind of clumps, and to expand these thoughts that he was putting in my heart. And as we've been going through these series, I believe that you've been growing as well as I have to really look at how God works in our hearts. Specifically, this series that we're going in is fulfilling our calling. I've been teaching for many years that all of us have a calling on our lives. It doesn't just apply to those who are in leadership, pastoral leadership, or other ministries. But if you're born, you have a calling on your life that God has ordained from the foundations of the world. And that's what we're going to be transitioning through as we go through these series and these sermons that the Lord has put on my mind and my heart. I do have a memory scripture. I have really been applying memorization to my life, and it's been a blessing just to get the Word of God deep down into your heart. And so these memory verses that we've been going through during this series, I believe that it's been encouraging you also as you get in some tough spots or some happy days. The Word of God rises up within our heart. So our memory scripture that we're going to be focusing on comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the 19th and 20th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the 19th and the 20th verse. I want you to read it aloud with me, as always, so we can get it into our mind and it can seep into our hearts. Let's read. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I know that's a heavy, heavy scripture. As we who are the saved, the sanctified, those who are saved by God's grace and mercy, fulfill the calling that he's put in our lives. Let's start out in the book of the beginnings, Genesis chapter 50. And I want you to focus in on that 20th verse with me. Genesis chapter 50 and 20, and while you're getting prepared, get your notepads or whatever you do to stay focused in, please go in a word of prayer with me. Father, I just thank you for this day that you have made. As we started out, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, there's so much going on in our society, but I thank you that you're still the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. That you're still ordering our steps, that you're still showing so much love to mankind. Now, Father, as we approach your word, I pray that souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of you, that today will be their day to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you're raising from the dead and you said they would be saved. Lord, let them experience that grace that we talk so much about. Now, Lord, I welcome your Holy Spirit. You're the teacher. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you just put amen in that chat just to affirm what God is going to do in our lives today? Let's go to that Genesis chapter 50 and 20th verse. It reads, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." Listen to that. Such a powerful scripture. Genesis 50 and 20. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." I want to speak from a title today, The Big Picture. Yes, The Big Picture. Even on that picture that I have up there, it's actually a person looking through a ship window and seeing the ocean. And that is really the crux of the definition of the big picture. But also in the 1900s, this was coined as a film term where you could see something bigger than what you're actually looking at that's close to you, to really see the whole outline of where you're going. And today we're going to talk about that, because in our lives, God wants us to really begin to grasp the big picture. And ultimately, He is the one that holds the whole thought pattern and orders our steps to get us exactly where He would have us to be. That's actually good news. Today we pick up the time frame. It's approximately 1850 BC. And we picked up this this powerful character named Joseph. Now, I'm going to have to go through a lot of a little background history real quickly. But Joseph was kind of like the promised child of his father, Jacob. Jacob, that name also Israel. And so out of his loins, Jacob's loins, actually comes the 12 tribes of Israel. And Joseph is one of those. His children actually will split out one of those tribes. Joseph was known as the one who had a coat of many colors. Some of you remember that from Sunday school class. And in that, because that he was Jacob's favorite, the other brothers did not like Joseph. He was also having dreams. And these dreams, we're going to talk about a little later, were saying that his mom and dad would bow down to him, and ultimately his brothers would bow down to him also. And so in all of these things, the brothers get truly upset, and they actually sell him into slavery. He ends up into Egypt. Many years are lost, at least from the viewpoint of us looking in. But God saw the big picture. Can you put in the chat and just say big picture? In our lives, so many times it seems like a time has been lost. But God is saying, I'm using that time to grow you. I'm using that time to make connections. I'm using that time to bring paths together. I'm telling you, this is good news. So I want to pick up the end part of the story, Joseph's life, as we can see the climax. We can see how God brought all of these divergent points, divergent paths together to really glorify Him, and also that many lives could be impacted for the good. Genesis 50 and 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which he did to him." Here's our first point, sins of the past. Sins of the past. As said earlier, I had to go through a lot of history, but when there was a famine, God had actually raised up, taken Joseph out of the prison system and given him a dream, and he was able to speak it into the Pharaoh's life at that time. And because of that, he was elevated, because he had received wisdom of God how to navigate through the famine that would be coming. God worked this out, and so Jacob has to send his sons to get food from, yes, you got it, Joseph. The big reveal comes. They find out it's Joseph, the one that they thought was dead, that they had sold out. They were concerned what was going to happen, but Joseph really steps up, takes care of his family, all because he is honoring his father, but God has done a work in Joseph's heart. Now, this is important. So Jacob dies, and now the brothers are like, oh my goodness, our father is gone. What is Joseph going to do now? Now, they are actually separated because the family's in Goshen, and Jacob is actually in the Egyptian court. And so when this news gets back, they're trying to collaborate. How can we stay in the favor of Joseph. How many sins of our past continue to come up within our mind that we seem to not be able to get a past, that we can't seem to get over in our lives, that the enemy keeps yelling? And when God has blessed us over and over again, those sins of the past continue to come like ghosts in our peripheral vision. I'm telling you, we've got to be able to grasp the big picture of what God is doing within our lives. Galatians 6:7 does talk about this. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." This is so true within our lives, but I need you to really grasp this word that we talk about so much, grace. And you put that in the chat, just grace, G-R-A-C-E, grace. Some of you need to scream out grace, because when you think about what God has done in your life, when you think about all the mercies that he's shown, I'm telling you, that is worth shouting about. The Bible definition of grace is undeserved favor. Grace cannot be earned. It is something that is freely given. Yeah, we can't earn it. We can't do a good enough to actually put it in our pocket. It has to be given freely, and it can only come from the Lord. I'm talking about the big picture. John Scott wrote of grace. He said, "Grace is love that cares and stoops and rescues." Can I read that again? Grace is love that cares and stoops and rescues. Are you excited about that? That God's grace, it cares for us. It stoops down to where we are. And these brothers, because of the sins of the past, they had not embraced the grace of God, the mercy of God that he was using their brother Joseph. Maybe you're dealing with those sins of past, as said earlier. I want you to hug grace today. I want you to know that God has a big picture for your life. You remember that woman in the New Testament that was caught in the very act of adultery? She was ripped out of the place that she was at. She was taken and thrown in front of Jesus. They were actually trying to trip up Jesus, mess up his theology. And as she's thrown in front of Jesus, they're asking Christ over and over, "What shall we do?" See, the law said if a woman was caught in the very act of adultery with the man, and the man also, they would be stoned. And so they're trying to figure out, how can we manipulate Christ to actually saying the wrong thing to lose the popularity of the people? John 8:7, "So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who was out sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one." Can you say one by one? Put it in the chat. One by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. "And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up, himself, he saw no one but the woman. He said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?'" I love this. John 8:11. I'm talking about the big picture. She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Joseph is having to deal with his brothers that are consequently caught up in the past. But please understand, when God sets you free, somebody say free, scream it out. When God has done something in your life, you can't go back. You're going forward. Let me show you Genesis 50:16. "So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, 'Before your father died, he commanded, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him." Here's a point. Get this one, please. Trying to fix it. Yes, trying to fix it. It becomes problematic when we lose sight of the big picture and we try to fix how we will fulfill God's calling. When we try to manipulate the situation or the circumstances, and here we really see the lack of faith of these brothers of Joseph in trying to fix it, to make it agreeable for their lives, to make everything okay in spite of, God's love that he's shown through this whole saga. They were still faithless, again, when it came to the graces and mercies of the Lord. God put this on my heart to kind of sum up this thought. They depended on the respect that Joseph had for the earthly father more than respect Joseph had for his heavenly father. Any amens out there? I want to read that again to you. They depended on the respect that Joseph had for their earthly father more than the respect Joseph had for his heavenly father. Saints of God, you've got to realize that God is the one who is ultimately in charge. God is the one who ultimately controls everything. Little kids, I used to sing, he has the whole world in his hand. Are you trying to fix things in your life? Is that why you're struggling through so many things? Because you're trying to fix it? Are you trying to cover up your past rather than to give yourself to the gracious hands of the Lord? I'm talking about the big picture within our lives as we fulfill the calling that God has placed within us. Look at Genesis 50 and 18. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we are your servants. Here's another point. One word, prophecy. Yes, prophecy. It's powerful, powerful here. So they make it from Goshen. They get to the courts and they're, man, they prostrate themselves. They fall down at the feet of Joseph because they know Joseph has the upper hand. They haven't grasped the big picture. Joseph, he's walking in the big picture of life. In this instance, I'm actually using a prophecy with the definition of a prediction of future events. So this is the definition I'm using for this particular point, a prediction of future events. This scene was actually spoken of many years before this when Joseph was a child, when he had that coat on of many colors. When I introduced this, I talked a bit about that. Genesis 37:9, then he dreamed still another dream, that's Joseph, and told it to his brothers and said, look, I've dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. Yes, prophecy. This is the fulfillment. Now, this wasn't the first time. Remember when the brothers came, didn't even know that he was in charge. They had to bow down. But God is bringing this out. What God has for you, it is for you. That big picture, even if you can't see it, just keep walking. God is ordering your steps to get you to exactly the place that he desires you to be. There ought to be some witnesses out there saying, I'm looking at my life, and I did not plan to be here, but I thank God. God, that his hand is with me. I thank God that he has ordered my step. I'm embracing God's plan for my life. Psalms 110 says it like this. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. God will do it. God did it for Joseph. Those same brothers that were his enemies, those same brothers that sold him into slavery, those same brothers that did not understand the big picture that was happening in Joseph's life. Now God allows them to bow down before Joseph, but what will be the attitude of Joseph? Timothy, Paul's son in the New Testament, he understood this word prophecy. 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy. Can you just say prophecy? Put it in the chat there. Prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership. 4 and 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. I'm talking about the big picture. Please, I've experienced this word prophecy even in my life. Early in life and teenage years and then going into the military. While I was in the military, there was a particular lady that began to speak into my life. She said, you're going to be a pastor. You got to understand the sequence there. I did not want to be a pastor. Didn't want to be involved with that. But God had a big plan for my life. It was a bigger picture. picture that was going on. Then another elderly lady came while I was in the military, and she gave me this huge concordance. It was gray and it was worn, and she said, "You're going to need this one day." I wanted to tell her, "I don't need this, but please understand, God was getting set forth the prophecy that was developing in my life. Even when I couldn't embrace it, even when I couldn't walk in it, God was saying, I'm going to transition you to that place that you know not of, because I hold the big picture." That's good news. Some of you find yourself in situations now, as said earlier, that you did not plan to be at, but now God is opening up your eyes, letting you know it was about the big picture. How many of you have wanted to do this and had decided to do that, had gone to school for this, gone to school for that, but God said, no, that's not the way I want you to go. Now you find yourself in a different territory, but now you've got more faith in the Lord than you ever thought you'd have. Now you're able to do some things that you never thought you'd be able to do, all because of the big picture that's happening in your life. This is Joseph. Look at Genesis 50 and 19. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am I in the place of God?" He puts that question. Listen to that. He says, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?" That shows a man that's really grasped the big picture. Here's the point. Know your place. Yes, know your place. See, the problem that happens in our lives as God blesses us and we really are starting to fulfill our call, things are coming together. Sometimes the enemy can come in and start whispering in our ear, and we can think it was because of our smarts, our intellectual prowess. We can think it because we made the right choices and we were movers and shakers and we rubbed shoulders with the right people. The enemy can whisper that in, but please understand, never forget your space, your place in God, your space that he's given you, that it has been ordained from the foundations of the earth. And if it had not been for God on your side, even though Joseph was in this place of authority, he's able to grasp the big picture that it's all about God. See, when you're walking in the fulfillment of your calling, you quickly learn your place. You learn to stay in your place. You understand without God, you would be nothing. You understand that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. You understand that God has made you more than a conqueror. Do I have any witness in the house? We understand that it's all about God and the picture that he's painting for our lives. Jesus spoke this to his disciples in Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And no matter how blessed you are, never forget where God has brought you from. No matter how much you have in your life, never forget the strong arm of God. The children of Israel ran to this. They began to forget the Lord, even after warnings of Deuteronomy 8 and 11. "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today." Look at that 8 and 12. "Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." We must always know our place. Never forget it's God that has gotten us to this place. Let me give you one more example. When you actually lose sight of what God has done, there's sometimes things can turn bad. I want to use an unbeliever here, but in Acts 12:21, it says, "So on a set day, Herod," he had some thought patterns of who God was, but would not embrace that Jehovah was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was arrayed in his royal apparel, sat on his throne, and gave an oration to them. Acts 12:22, "And the people kept shouting, 'The voice of a God and not a man.'" What a day for Herod. I'm telling you, he is decked out. He's got everything in place. Oh, he is flowing well. People are lifting up. His verbiage sounds great. They're saying, no, this is not a man that's speaking. This is a God. But notice what happens in Acts 12:23. He didn't know his place. Then immediately An angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. Yes, as we tie this together to Joseph, Joseph understood. He understood. It's God that's gotten me to this throne. It's God that's elevated me. It's God that's blessed me with these robes. It's God that's put authority within our lives. Please understand, Genesis 50 and 20 brings this out. It says, but as for you, Joseph said this, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. For in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Here's the point. I love this. I could just preach about this point right here. God meant it for good. There ought to be some shouts. I believe somebody done got up out of your chair now, just walking around your room. God meant it for good. See, when you grasp that big picture, that even the trials, even in the tribulation, that God meant it for good. When God can flip stuff, when things should have broke you, when things should have ripped you apart, but yet God kept you together, you can say God meant it for good. Joseph recognized that all his trials that God had allowed him to go through was all about fulfilling his calling. He realized that all those nights in the prison, he realized when he was afraid and had been sold into slavery, that he thought he was going to die, when people betrayed him, when he was caught up in situations that he didn't desire. He said, I recognized there was a big picture that was going on. I gave a quote this Thursday in our Bible study from J.K. Gresset, and it comes back to my heart. It says, God prepares great men for great tasked by great trials. Isn't that good? Can I read that again to you? God prepares great men for great tasks by great trials. There's some of you, you're walking in greatness now, not because it was just thrown upon you, but you're going through some valley experiences. You lost some loved ones. You've had to cry in the midnight hour. There have been some things that people don't even know about, that you've had to go through some emotional upheavals. But because you've gone through that, because you've suffered through some stuff, because you've had to cry, because you felt like you were all by yourself, felt fear, now you can trust the Lord. Now your faith has been elevated to another level. I'm talking about you have grasped the big picture. How has God prepared and equipped you to fulfill his plan and purpose for your life? Man, I want to say that again to you. How has God prepared and equipped you to fulfill his plan and purpose for your life? There is nothing, please understand, there is nothing that's wasted with God. God meant it for good. Man, I'm thinking about some things in my life right now, and I'm getting plumb happy knowing that there is no wasted time. Even though I don't understand while it's happening, I don't understand what God is up to, I can say that God meant it for good. Are there some other folks that, Pastor, I agree with you. God meant it for my good. God is working it out. I'm talking about, we need to grasp the big picture. Look at Genesis 50 in 21. Now therefore, do not be afraid, Joseph said. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Here's the point. Use me for your service. Yes. Use me for your service. See, when you know your place, when you've grasped this big picture, when you understand that God is in control, now you can get past yourself. Please, please understand, looking at the human side of Joseph, I know there had to be some things that kind of rose up in him. There had to be some flashbacks of the past when somebody sold you into slavery, treated you like dirt. It's hard to just look past that, but thank God for his grace and his mercy. Joseph understands God has placed me in this season for this particular reason and purpose. Use me for your service. Mahalia Jackson, she's saying this in a powerful way. She says, use me, Lord, in your service. Draw me nearer every day. I'll be willing, Lord, to run all the way. If I falter while I'm trying, don't be angry. Let me stay. I'll be willing, Lord, to run all the way. Are you willing to be used by the Lord. God has provided for you, and because he's provided for you, like Joseph, will you be willing to provide for others? Will you be able to bless? Because you've been blessed, will you be able to bless folks that don't even bless you? I hope you got that. Please understand, because you've been blessed by the Lord, will you be able to take those blessings and transfer to people that don't even deserve it? I'm talking about, you got the big picture. Look at Genesis 50, 21 again. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. He says, so I will provide for you and your little ones. You were hateful in the past. You had issues in the past. There would have been times, even now, you were trying to manipulate me. But because I'm blessed, because God has done what he's done, because I have grasped the big picture, I'm going to provide for you and your little ones. You don't have to worry, because God has been good to me. It took some years to navigate through some stuff. It took some years to work through some things that were in my heart. But when I see the big picture, I understand God meant it for good. I understand that the Lord wants me to use whatever I have for the service of him, to bless many. Joseph lived in this scripture, Philippians 4:19, and my God, can somebody say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's some of you need to take a shouting break right now. You need to run around your room or wherever you are and say, God, I thank you. I realize that all these blessings are not just for me. I realize all that you've done for me is not just for me, but it's to bless others. Think about how God has done some things in your life, put you in some places, gave you some jobs that you didn't even deserve, put you in places that you had no idea that you'd ever be able to sit in those places. And it's not all about you. It's about the goodness of the Lord. It's about reaching out to many. Let's sum this up in Genesis 50:22. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Can you put in the chat 110? Yeah, 110 years. Wherever, if you're not in the chat, just say 110. I'm going somewhere. Here's our final point. There is still more to do. Yes, there is still more to do. To the older saints, I want you to know there's still more to do. God is not finished with you. I don't care. You may be in a nursing facility right now. You may be struggling with disease in your body. I want to speak a prophecy in your life, a prophetic word in your life. There is still more to do. The fact that you're still here says God still wants to use you. Can I just give you an example? Sarah was 90 when she had her first baby. Yes, 90 years old. Her husband Abraham was 100 years old. It was past the possibility of it even happening. But when you got God on your side, he is not through with you. There is still more to do. Paul the apostle, running to a sprint to get to fulfilling his calling, that finish line. 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Are there some saints? I said, I'm loving his appearance. The fact that he's given us life, the fact that we can take a breath into our lungs, God is not finished with us. We must live in God's big picture for our lives. We could stay here and celebrate Joseph. There's so much that we can talk about Joseph, but please understand, there's a greater one than Joseph. You know his name. His name is Jesus. I'm reminded of a particular miracle in the New Testament that we actually get to see the big picture. Jesus shows us something miraculous in John 9:1. He says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. At that time, we're going to find out within the scripture, when somebody was living a life and they were had a handicap, especially from birth, it was thought of there had to be a reason for that. John 9:2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They wanted to know, how in the world did this happen? What occurred? John 9:3, Jesus answers this. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I'm telling you, he blows their mind. He said, there's a big picture. You've been caught up. You thought it was the daddy that sinned. And consequently, because the daddy sinned, the son was born. But you thought that the mama sinned. And consequently, because she sinned, the baby
baby was born blind. But I need you to know there's a big picture. It wasn't because of the daddy's sin. It wasn't because of the mama's sin. It wasn't because of the auntie's sin. But it was because I needed to reveal something. There ought to be some shouts in the house. It was about the big picture. John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. I'm so glad for the light of the world that had caught the big picture of the Father working in his life, that took him to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he caught the big picture. He says, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. I'm talking about the big picture. Took him through a betrayal, took him down the Via Dolorosa, took him to a cross of Calvary. There ought to be some shouts of praise, and I thank the Lord for the big picture, because on that cross of Calvary, he's able to scream out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How could he say that? He had caught the big picture. He understood that he was the fulfillment of prophecy. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There ought to be some saints that I'm healed today, because Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but there ought to be some shouts of praise. You know the end of the story. 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory, all a part of the big picture, and now is seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us that we can fulfill the calling that he has in our lives. Saints, I know many of us feel like that we've wasted time, that we've got off on the wrong path. And even with all of that, I want you to know God is bigger than your mess ups. Man, that's a word for you. He is bigger than your mess ups. I know sometimes we wish we could go back and we can fix it, but God is bigger than all of that. Where you are right now, God is using you. Just as Joseph said, you meant it for my harm, but God meant it for my good. And as he was saying, I didn't understand that there were so many nights that I kind of grabbed my head and I shook in fear and pain, wanting to go back to my dad, wanting to go back to my mom. But there was a different path. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's the big picture. Saints, I want you to be comforted. God is not finished with you. Yes, I know our society seems to be falling apart in so many places. We've got wars and rumors of wars. We've got climate change. We've got gun violence. You just so much our political realm, they say, can't get it together. The talks, the intellectuals are butting heads. All of these things are going on. We may feel like there's no hope, but there's a big picture. You remember the story that I told? It was weeks and weeks ago. It was a man that was driving a Tesla with his family, and he decided, it seems that everything is indicating this, to drive off a cliff some 300 feet with his family, two kids in white, trying to kill them, and the Tesla falls and hits rocks, flips over, but guess what? They did not die. The people got there. They had to be airlifted out and sent to the hospital, but they did not die. You know why? Because there was a big picture. And now he's dealing with the fact that he tried to circumvent God's plan for people's lives, when God's saying, I am in charge in spite of what we do. We've got to grasp the big picture. If only we can submit to him and say, God, I don't understand it all, but I want to embrace. We started out with this, your grace and your mercy. You have placed me here for a reason. Will you embrace that today? If you don't know Christ, will you submit to him? Will you decide once and for all? The gospel, the crux of the gospel, is not understanding all 66 books. It's really grasping this fact that you are a sinner, that we have ignorance, that we have messed up, that we have done so many things that was contrary to God's will, and we recognize we need a Savior. Scriptures are clear. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God is raised from the dead, we will be saved. Does it mean that we have to say those exact things? No. What it's saying is we realize we need help. If you were drowning, you don't have time to have a long sentence. All you have time is say, help. And when you say help, it's saying, I need a savior. That's what God is asking you to do. Can you just scream out help? There ought to be somebody out there say, help, Lord, help, help, help. And he comes in and we realize the one who saves you is Christ. Yes, God raised him from the dead with all power and glory. And we submit to that. If you don't know him, I encourage you to cry out to him and just scream out help. He'll come in an amazing way and change your life that you can fulfill the calling that he's put on it. Maybe you are saved and you really know that you've called out help, but you're in a time that maybe depression, you're fighting depression, you're fighting other things just to push through. It is tough just to get through days, but you know you're saved. You know Christ is working. I want to encourage you and give you that word again. God is not finished with you. He has more for you to do. All things that you're going through right now is to fulfill a bigger plan. When you get to the other side, you'll understand. You'll look back and say, oh, that's why I had to suffer there. That's why I had to cry. That's why I felt lonely at times. And then you can say, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. We want to grasp the big picture. Would you pray with me? Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the examples that you have pulled out within scripture. Help us, God. We want to fulfill all those things that you put in our hearts and our lives. Lord, work out the calling that you put on our lives from the foundations of the, before we even knew we were somebody, before our mom and dad even knew each other, Father God, before even the world was created, you already had us on your mind. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for saving souls. Bring them to the knowledge of the truth. Thank you for the calling that you're working out in our lives. Thank you, God, for the big picture. In Jesus' name, amen.
I thought you'd like to know all those nights you paced the floor. Well, praying I will make it home all right. Believing God that he will someday save my soul. Well, he did. And I thought you'd like to know. I thought you'd like to know all those prayers you prayed for me. Never a one once fell to the ground. I know sometimes it looked like I was a million miles from grace. He answered your prayers, and I thought you'd like to know. Mama, I want you to know I love you. Please forgive me for all the times I broke your heart. Every tear you cried for me drew me closer, being free. I wanna thank you, and I thought you'd like to know. I thought you'd like to know. I wish I could live my life again. If I could, I would surely make amends. But if I could help my brothers a new life to discover, then I will. And I thought you'd like to know. Oh, Mama, I want you to know I love you. Please forgive me times I broke your heart. Every tear you cried for me drew me closer, being free. I wanna thank you.
Thank you.
And I thought you'd like to know. I wanna thank you, and I thought you'd like to know.